When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Bertanes, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all here with us today. So sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we'll have a great, great situation here because we are originally here at the Bauerlack in Zurich in the middle of the Gütermann family office meeting. And I'm very happy to introduce the founders of the family office in a few seconds. Then we have Martin Stör, the founder and head of Impact Hub Leipzig. And later on, we have Christian Schmierer, Dr. Christian Schmierer from High Impulse, a very interesting startup he founded, but more later on. Please stay tuned. So first, let's kick off a song and let's kick things off with a song selected by Martin. Thank you, Martin, for choosing this special song. It was Drugs by the Philharmonic, a very special song with a text and some of you might know. It is a song which talks about independency, about also social expectations, our life, which is full of drugs and people, things where the people try to substitute themselves, looking back from the idea of perfection and how we chase highs and recognition. So it is a topic where we might come back after the introduction. I will start now together with my guests here next to me. I have to introduce with a few words about the both standing next to me. Hello and welcome to the show.
Hello, I'm Mrs. Annabelle, the Lady Annabelle. I think we are in Great Britain, UK.
Yes, we are.
That's great. That's great. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to have an interview with you. And greetings to United Kingdom. I'm a big fan of the castles, of the royals, of London, of the food. It's tradition. And I hope that the future will also stay in the traditional, not only modern times.
We really hope that future and tradition gets together in a good mission. And I'm very happy to have you both here, Thomas and Angela, both Gütermann. And I would like to say a few words before I give some questions to you, but a very warm welcome that we could have this radio show and podcast today here in these rooms. So the Gütermann Family Office is renowned for its hand on strategic advisory, direct private equity investments, and deep investor relations network across industry and finance, with all investments in global success stories like Facebook, SpaceX, and other major IPOs in both Germany and Switzerland, their track record speaks for itself. Their latest focus backing real implementation, like companies like Hall & Pulse, already recognized by Thomas and his team, as part of the next wave of extraordinary ventures shaping the world of tomorrow. today because you will see and hear me talking with Christian Schmierer, one of the founders of Pulse later today. So stay tuned as we dive into a conversation about visionary investing, disruptive innovation, and what it takes to spot the next global game changer, all from one of the most elegant and historic venues in Zurich, the Bauer Unlock Hotel. So very much welcome here. And I would like to address a few questions to you, just a few to get you into the place. First of all, if we talk about vision and courage, and I think these both come together in Gutermann family office. Thomas, you had the foresight of investing in Facebook when many doubted about it and said, what is this kind of company, a young boy who just said it's a Facebook, what does it mean? What an accomplished or pattern do you rely on when you everyone else is skeptical, but you sense it's an opportunity others yet can see? Can you remember this situation? You think you were right, and every other said, no, Thomas, this is wrong.
Thank you. So first of all, this was around about 2004 when I discovered Facebook, and my family said, "You are immediately fired. You are crazy, you know." But the idea was, I love to play chess, and if you know the story about chess, it's very simple. It has 64 fields, and the king of Persia said to the population of Persia, I want to find a game which is undependent by luck." And so one guy found it, brought it to the king and said, "Look, has nothing to do with luck. It's only if you're clever." So then the king played with that. After a week, said, "Bring me the man." And he said, "This chess play is so crazy good. You have a big wish, whatever you like, you get it." So this simple man said, "Give me for the first chess field, we have 64, one rice corn, and give me for the second one, two, for the third, four, and so on." 64 fields, ladies and gentlemen, means it's a train of rice corns from Earth to the moon. It's the same like Facebook, we have in our brain so much connections, neural connections, and it's without infinity. It's infinity, like the chess fields, and if you connect with the first field to the second field, and that's the Facebook principle, I had no idea about the numbers, I saw only the idea and the mindset of the management.
Well, really impressive, and thank you for the story. So maybe some of our listeners will buy now a chess fight and go into this sports, huh? It's a kind of sports, it is. So going into legacy and impact, your family office isn't just about financial growth, but also about shaping the future. Even if we go into the neighbor's room, we see a part of this kind of space shuttle. When you look at your investments today, what excites you most about creating a legacy that goes beyond numbers and truly changes how people live and connect?
We are seeing investment in tomorrow, not in yesterday. I would say old world meets new world. And it's always, if you not know your past, you cannot see the present time and maybe calculate the future. We are here not only seeing companies which have big revenues, we see also the vision. And I think Europe should have a space company independent from America. And the big subject we have in whole Europe is defense. And what we decided, Gutermann Family Office, to work with High Impulse is crazy because it's the first green rocket. They make it with a propulsion, ladies and gentlemen, in by paraffin, which means no damage environmental. And now it comes. It's so effective like kerosene. Kerosene is old stuff, is antique. The modern propulsion is paraffin. And we need that for Europe. And I fear often, and I'm nearly ready, is for companies like High Impulse or other good startups with vision, Europe has lost this confidence because they lost two world wars, and they're looking always to America. And we need a Europe which is strong and have confidence together, these 27 countries. That would be my dream.
I'm completely with you, and I think we can be proud of our heritage. We can be proud of our great
Absolutely.
architecture. We have so great thinkers and people who founded great things. I mean, if we think about automotive, what was done in the past, and how we look now to the past, ashamed, forgot about the tradition, but just hanging in the idea of being responsible for things we are not responsible anymore, and hanging on the relying on other countries. Giving them the first place where we have earned it and could do it by having too little self-impact and idea about what we can. I completely agree with
The
you.
difference between US kitchen and European kitchen, maybe.
Yes, I mean, there we can see the big difference on quality. Yes, definitely. Thank you very much for sharing your insights with us here. And if we go into roots and reinvention, I mean, you are coming from a family with such a strong heritage. And I like the story because as a kid, I had the aunt who was a designer, and we all talked about buttons and ribbons and all the things you need for good clothes, for good quality clothes. And I mean, there you come from, right? How do you balance honoring tradition with backing disruptive startups with that might completely redefine the future, as you just talked about, Hampos?
Thank you very much. Well, it's actually very easy. We have the past, like we already said, and you have values in this past, which we unfortunately in the last years have underestimated a little, put it aside. We are very good in always looking in the neighbor's garden and saying, his wife is more beautiful, the garden is bigger, the house is nicer, the car, well. So instead of looking at ourselves and say, I must not be everybody's cup of tea. I have my strong sides, and I have my weak sides, and I to compensate all these things and to develop everything. And my ancestors were very strong people. So my grandfather, Richard Gütermann, and my father, Horst Gütermann, including my mother and my grandmother, because they stepped always aside like we do also, with other values and also getting together. We have in the Gütermann family office also these values, not only to earn money, but also today is a point. We had innovation, and you asked for this and said, how do we get it together? If somebody is an entrepreneur and he's not looking at the future, what is coming up, he's going to be lost. So this very nice sensitivity, what Thomas also has, like Facebook or other things, for the future, what is coming up? Very often, this was big discussions in between my father and my grandfather. So my father, I give you an example, saw that the silk, and in the beginning it was Gütermann throwing silk, later it was Gütermann thread, went from silk to polyester. And my grandfather, silk naturally all his life, my father came up and said, look, in the new machines and Chinese coming in also really long term, getting all to polyester and everything, we have to change. We have to take in the polyester threads, which became our famous Mara, and where we are all proud. But at that point is the heat resistance and the thread resistance, on the machines, was much stronger in polyester than in silk.
And it's still from nature.
And
It's
it's
still
from
from
it.
cotton.
So my father had a long time to convince his father to say, look, the future is coming. You must come up to go in this future, because otherwise we are going to miss it. So this always entrepreneur has to be somebody who goes ahead, who thinks ahead, who has responsibility. It would be beautiful, more moral, more social responsibility for our nature, for our people, for employees. All this world is around. That was my youth, my whole life. And this we share together, that we always, if we look for an enterprise who is what we might represent, also present to investors, then there must be certain values behind it. Yeah, and these values, like morality, like you can't always see through everything, but there must be a certain point where you say it must be ecologic, hopefully, or it will be something sustainable, or so. And now we have High Impulse, where they are 20 years together working as students, and today they persist. And everything which makes a leader is that you stick to your dreams, to your vision, and you bite yourself through to this way. And I think that's international, everywhere. And I would love that, how you said, our European, I want to say, European enterprises and startups are more valued. There is a point where we always look outside, and I don't want to say it's also only not only America. It's we look outside, and outside it's always better. And our experience is very, very intensive, where we have so beautiful startups. I would love to dream to have a fund with only startups which need money to develop their vision. So you need money to have a vision and to get all this way through. And this is, I would love that European, German, Switzerland, Austria is developing what exactly you said, this self-pride again. We are not responsible. The past is the past. It's long time gone. Always chewing the same chewing gum is not very funny. So I say, let's come to this and see. We have Goethe and Schiller and whatever, all these poets and invention and engineering and physics. And let's look in our own house and put our money to the values which have created so much on the whole world.
Yes, and I like your point very much. And I think, I mean, you are also somebody who's very spiritual, who knows about the people's thinking, about the people's needs. You're also a coach. And I think from this perspective, we also have to look at it. People should get healthier by accepting their heritage, by being proud of their heritage, by being proud of their self again. And by supporting startups like this, who are doing this in the first row, uplifting, putting people in the front, which are standing as a role model for that. And I'm very happy that you sorted out one of these for later for our talk, where we can see how values, consistency, being clear, being stable, seeing mistakes.
Creative.
Exactly, being also creative and crazy somehow
Yeah.
against other doubts, or doubts of everybody else around, where this brings a really, really high quality visions, big visions, which can come true by the support of you, right?
May I add a short sentence, short statement? I feel at the moment in the Western world that we are a society of fears. You know, and we should lose our fears, and that's it. And more courage, more okay. If we
Passion.
lose more passion to the things what they're doing, and in the moment the society is a little bit fear without really dreams and illusion. And if you lose your dreams, you will lose your mind. Rolling Stones, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it fits better than ever to use this. If we want to go into one, we go into a commercial now, having 2 minutes, and see each other back in 2 minutes.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
I'm having a talking today with Angela and Thomas Gudermann from Gudermann Family Office here at the Bauerlag in Zurich. One last question goes to Thomas. Talking about startup alchemy, when you look at this goal, who are startups you've invested in, what sparks you really most?
Also, first of all, is the vision real? That's clear. And second, is the mindset of the management clear? For example, he says you must be in it to win it, or he has a really good headline. Often the companies which have a good product and a good vision, they're missing the positioning of the company that really people are interested to look deeper, and it's missing, you know. And the management must be so good that if I advise them or help him, help them, that we are understand blind, you know. And if there's some miscommunication, you have to clear it up and not waiting and be cool and we will see. It must be a clear statement from all sides, you know, that we are working together really. Also, once again, mindset of the team, of the manager must be good, the vision must be good, and the product must be real by the due diligence approved, you know. And then marketing, we must do anyway.
Thank you so much. So first of all, thank you very much for the answers you gave as an introduction here into what you do. Really impressive. And it's investing in the world of tomorrow, of course. So I'm very happy that you bring in for in a couple of minutes Dr. Christian Triera,
the best,
who is now standing as a space shuttle in the next room.
European SpaceX in another style, you know.
Exactly.
People must understand.
I would love to show you that, but maybe next time, this time we see him in a couple of minutes. Thank you for bringing him in here in a couple of minutes.
Lady Annabelle, thank you, and greetings to the United Kingdom, the best.
So, Martin, I'm very happy to have you here. We started already with your song, and of course, investing in the world of tomorrow, the sentence we have here in the back, standing for the vision of Gudermann Family Office, is also, or could be also, your sentence, right?
Yes, absolutely. Hi, Annabelle.
Hi, Martin. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe let me start and introduce you with a few words, because, I mean, it's just too nice when you are dead. Some people talk about change. I mean, you build it, born with the curiosity of an engineer and the heart of a social entrepreneur. You co-founded Impact Hub Leipzig and helped launch the first Impact Hub in India. From circular economy startups to global founder networks, you uncover hidden opportunities and create ecosystems where innovation thrives. Today, you share how resilient networks are born, how to adapt sustainability, and how to turn bold ideas into lasting impact. So get ready. Your insights may just change the way we all see opportunity. Thank you, Martin, for being here.
Let's see if I can live up to that reality.
Martin, I have so many questions which are prepared for you. And of course, we don't get it done. We have to do it once again. First of all, I mean, looking into the poles you work, it's on the one hand India, on the other hand, it's Europe. And just Mr. and Ms. Gutermann talked about this heritage of Europe, this strong past, this unfold vision, this doubts, this fear. Is it also that you could describe when you see the both countries, India and yeah, okay, it's not a country, but Europe, can you see this differences too, or how would you describe these countries for their opportunity and entrepreneurship?
So, I mean, both are super big continents, right? With a lot of diversity and a lot of realities. So giving the one truth is probably an overestimation. And one truth I heard about India was, the funny thing about India is when you say something about India, the opposite is probably also true. But what I feel in Europe at the moment is a bit of misery and fatalism and I don't know, feeling a bit depressive. Whereas in India, I feel people are looking forward to a brighter future. And I think that's also a bit about the perspective, what you're looking at. Are you coming from a place where you can lose a lot, where you have built your wealth and now you're defending it? Or are you coming from a reality where you are actually building your truth and your future? So I try to break down my German mindset and my East German mindset sometimes in a way that I really try to practice gratitude for what I have, but not take it for granted and look at what could be a good reality in the future. Yeah.
It's a nice idea or nice points you shared with us. Having maybe the backpack of the heritage of the tradition as a kind of not support, but more thinking back of what you lost than thinking more to what you can win, right? To defend the old instead of looking for the visions, for the chances you have in future. And yes, this might be a problem of Europe currently, combined with a fear of an area of countries which somehow lost their support in United States are still a little bit unsecure about what it means. And the big brother is not there anymore as it was there, so looking a little bit for the support anyhow. If we go into back to India, and I would like to share something with you. You know, I'm an anchor for an Indian UN magazine, and when I sent them something about the UN World Cleanup Day, they said, "Anwar, it doesn't matter now. We are about the death of Zeke. This is important for now." And I said, "What? This pop singers is moving a nation?" But yes, it belongs to that when you look, for example, at what they say India and Europe about startup qualities. Indians say one of the most important qualities is resilience. Another is happiness. The other is respectfulness. The other is giving feedback and listening. If I look into the European, it says IT know-how, business administration. it's so different from the attitude. Indian, and I mean, of course, I support you that you say we shouldn't talk about stereotypes. But if we talk about this European way, wouldn't it be sometimes somehow nice to have a bit Indian spirit in the impact hub support in Germany?
I definitely think we are talking a lot about resilience here and about yes, building business models, because that's what our members often don't come from. As a, like, their main purpose at the beginning is purpose and what they want to achieve. They're idealists often that turn into entrepreneurs. If you talk German, then entrepreneur is Unternehmer, and it's more like an insult. Actually, this the word entrepreneur is not seen as a positive in Germany. And yes, I think that building your own company, whether you call it a startup in English, that's all right. In German, it's also kind of a pejorative term, let's say. It's not necessarily the best thing to build a startup in Germany, because it's a company that hasn't made it yet, right? So it's still a failure until it's a success. And what's the secret to an overnight success? 10 years of hard work. So until that overnight success has emerged and surfaced, you're a Schwätzer, right? You're a big mouth, and being a big mouth is not something that Germans like to be. So yeah, I think in the sense of going into truth, and trying to build a something that's resilient and useful as such is pretty inherent in our network here, in our social entrepreneurship bubble. But what we need from the Indian side, I think, is actually thinking in business units and also making it work with maybe customers that are not necessarily rich already. If you go into India, then it's amazing to see how many self-made millionaires and billionaires you can meet there, because they have been working for the last decades on their own wealth, going for something that Europeans wouldn't expect. So when I'm in Hyderabad, I'm surrounded by those people. And yes, that is a pretty interesting bubble, probably as such. But to me, Hyderabad feels like Munich. And Munich is kind of the richest city in Germany, right? And the safest also. So yeah, I think we can learn a lot from always going outside of our own bubble. And that's maybe the main message. If you are doing your own thing and becoming an entrepreneur, it's interesting to not only talk to the five people you talk to most and that are shaping you the most, but also really make the effort to go outside of your comfort zone, outside of your bubble, travel places that you haven't been to. But if, do you know Marie Kondo, the cleaning goddess? So she's made a book that's called Learn to See. And if you are looking at the environment around you, wherever you go, with a perspective of what could I do here as a business that would make this environment a better place, that is the kind of the site or the way of looking at things of a project developer or of an entrepreneur. And I think that's the training that we all should have when we are going to places we haven't been to, but also going through our own neighborhoods. And then maybe the most important thing is to get into real conversations with people there. I mean, I'm taking some of your questions already, because I know what you're interested in. Maybe you don't have to ask so many then, but I think one thing that I took from my engineering studies are the five why questions. And if you study journalism, the five whys are, or the five Ws are a bit different. In German, it's the same. But the five whys in engineering is asking why, and why, just like a kid would do, right? And then you get to reasons why things are the way they are. And then you get to maybe also possibilities and opportunities where you could potentially change a system. And we are the potential butterflies for the butterfly effect. So all the realities that shaped you, if you take the bold approach of saying, hey, I can change the world, are maybe the step towards actually, yeah, making something different. It starts with one person that stands up in a crime scene or in an accident to actually start helping people. If there's more than seven, everybody usually looks away unless they are trained to support. If you're willing to change an ecosystem, you can.
Absolutely. I'm completely with you. And I mean, we are absolutely running out of time, even especially if I look at what we could talk about and what I want to know from you. So we have approximately 2 minutes left, and I would like to get two things from you. First of all, I would like to know from you the most inspiring startup you supported. And then I would like to have from you, who is so engaged in things, who is so motivated, who is so believer in people and visions, and that we can do for the better. And what are your three hacks for every day to feel that motivated you are?
So if I have to name just one, I'm going for Olo Eat. It's a mathematical system turned into engineering that is cleaning lakes and helping save energy in breweries or in in wastewater industries. So if you look at oloeat.de, you will see what the system is about. Really crazy, really engineering entrepreneur. For the life hack, I mentioned speaking to people, asking them real questions that might be uncomfortable, but asking them in a nice manner, you know, like an interested manner. Then having a mindset of connected thinking. So if you see somebody that you can help, then help him, connect him to somebody he would maybe not dare to. Make a nice introduction. And when it comes to staying happy and motivated, we all go to death finally, right? So we can also have fun while going there. And if that means doing something that inspires you and that you feel passionate about, don't lose a day not doing that.
Thank you so much for sharing the insights with us, Morten. And thank you for the engaging discussion and inspiring talk. I really look forward to our ongoing exchange and the impact we will continue to make together on this planet, for the planet, and for everybody on this planet. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabelle. Take care.
So we have a 2 minutes break now, and afterwards, I'm very happy to introduce Dr. Christian Schmierer, who is already here in the room.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hi, and welcome, Christian.
Hello, Annabelle. Nice to be here.
So I'm very happy to welcome Dr. Christian Schmierer, founder of High Impulse, a visionary mind transformation, transforming how individuals and organizations harness growth and innovation. From his early years marked by curiosity and experimentation to his breakthrough work in leadership strategy and human potential, Dr. Schmierer has been on a mission to empower others to think bigger, act bolder, and create lasting impact. Get ready for his inside stories and actionable strategies that can change the way you approach to your personal and professional life. And I'm sorry that you're just listening, because otherwise I could take you in the room next door where we have a kind of top of a space shuttle, a SpaceX, which is not just done for any showcase, but which had a real activities already behind us that have pressure, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a nose cone of a rocket where the payload sits below, so our customer can do experiments on rocket flights. And this rocket part was launched last year in Australia with our first commercial rocket launch that we did.
Well, I can imagine that it was your first one, right? You said?
It was the first one as a company. Mm-hmm. So we did rocket launches before as a student group, but doing it as a company is always more difficult because you need to follow more regulation. You need to do it completely with high quality. So it was a very challenging launch, and we were very happy that it went successfully.
What made Australia being the perfect spot for that?
So for once, it's always good if no one lives in the vicinity of a launch site, because that means safety is much easier to implement. We also wanted to launch in the European continent. We had a launch site also set out in Saxon Fort, which is on the Shetland Islands in the UK. But unfortunately, the infrastructure was not ready in time. And so in the last minute, we had to shift to go to Australia, where we were lucky that we prepared already for many years two launch sites in parallel, because we knew this could happen.
Very impressive. Was there one person inside it?
No, it's just it's an autonomous vehicle. It's we don't develop yet manned systems, so we have payloads on board. This can be experiments, this can be satellites later on, and for the suborbital launch that we did last year, it's mainly research of the atmosphere or microgravity research for biology or pharmacy, for example, that are applications. And then we are developing now an orbital rocket that will bring satellites into space. And those observe the Earth, for example, traffic, climate change, nature, weather. These are typical Earth observation topics or communication. So we need satellites today already for internet, for telephone links from space, which will replace terrestrial networks in the future. And so more and more satellites are in the low Earth orbit, but they have to get there somehow. And for that, you need rockets, and you need environmental friendly rockets, and you need low cost rockets, because otherwise this market is only for the very rich and very powerful companies. But we want to democratize it so that more and more smaller companies can have access to space, and in the future even maybe universities and other smaller entities.
Very impressive. If the listeners might have an idea what is low cost and what is high cost, can you give us a little bit light into the shadow?
Yeah, so of course the space industry has already changed dramatically in the last 15 years. And main driver was SpaceX, like Thomas mentioned before in your previous session. So the access to space was in the past 100,000 euros for 1 kilogram of satellite, which means if you have then a satellite of several tons, it's in the multi-millions to launch a rocket. SpaceX brought that down to about 10,000 euro per kilogram on average, because it's a very complex thing. So sometimes it costs much less, but sometimes it costs much more, depending on the satellite and the customer needs. And we want to offer a similar service at around 6 to 10,000 euro per kilogram of satellite, but for a much smaller rocket. And small rockets are more expensive because they don't have scaling effects. So we bring in a completely new technology based on paraffin fuel that will lower the cost per kilogram also for small rockets. So we are basically developing a taxi service into orbit while SpaceX is having the big bus or the train even.
Well, great symbol to understand it. And of course, a great mission, democratizing it. And of course, in combination with sustainability, because I think that would have been also the fear of many, saying that the high cost, the high prices of bringing something into the orbit is good, because the less people can bring any problems into the orbit, which could be, again, problems for the people on Earth.
Yes, so it's of course always a two-sided metal. Having more rockets, even today, means having a little bit more pollution into the atmosphere. But on the other side, all our understanding of the atmosphere, of the climate, of the Earth, of environmental impacts that we have around the world come by 80% from space. The data is from satellites, and without satellites, we are basically blind. And so to protect the environment and climate and planet, we need to actually be in low Earth orbit to see what's happening, because a satellite covers the whole Earth every day. So you know exactly what happens to the, for example, if you measure the temperature of the ocean, one or two satellites can measure the whole Earth every day. And there is no other way to do this. You cannot send ships out to measure the temperature somewhere. So you really need space to understand what's happening on Earth.
Just about my own curiosity and to understand it, we are talking, for example, in the field of sustainability, also about this turning points. And we say in the field of sustainability that we can't say when there is this turning point, but this turning point will change everything, our whole ecosystem, our whole way we live. Do you think that also this startup you're in could change something because of first maybe measuring and knowing the turning point a bit earlier, or also avoiding that the ecosystem completely changes by being able to change matters of weather of the system?
Yeah, we ourselves, of course, we have two levers for that. The first lever is to really develop a sustainable propulsion systems so that the emissions that we emit during the rocket flight are neutral, carbon neutral to the atmosphere. And that's already a firm plan that we have. And the second point is by leveraging our services that we offer to our customers, we enable them to actually get a better understanding of the Earth through their satellite data. And I think that's very important that we understand that the space economy is the economy of this century, the low Earth orbit, but also other orbits, even going to the moon, are the industry zone of this century that we are now opening up for the broader public, basically for the broader economy. And while today everybody already uses space data every day, almost no one is aware of it. So I'm sure you used space data to get here, for example, with your navigation system. And in the future, this will be more and more. Logistics company that will make sure that your food arrives at the supermarket despite the traffic and on time with space data. Insurance companies that check what happened to your house during the last storm from space. Systems that monitor infrastructure like pipelines, power lines, all of that is done through space. And so space has a huge impact. And of course, it's therefore a huge economic driver. And it's not yet known to everyone. And I mean, one reason why we're here is to make this known to also investors, for example, that while other topics are more hyped, AI, before it was blockchain and cryptocurrency and so on, these are short-term hype cycles, which also drive a lot the innovation. Space is more the quiet hype in the background that happens over 10, 20 years because doing space is hard. To bring a rocket into space, you cannot do it in 2 years. You need to develop first the propulsion technology. That's what we did for the last 20 years. And then you need to develop a rocket out of it, which is luckily faster. It just takes 2 years. Once you have the technology secured, you can develop very quickly. But it still takes time. And so this space for me is like a mega trend in the background, behind all the noise of all the other topics that we discuss in the world. But it will bring a big change when we are able to go to space very easily in the future and very cheaply.
20 years is a long time. And I just remembered, and that was maybe you saw me smiling, the crease in my eyes. I thought about a situation with a Berlin startup CEO saying, oh, I'm so much looking forward to have founded this now. This company, and then 1 year I'm laying at the beach, my own beach, Lamborghini next to me, drinking a cocktail. Yeah. I'm being a millionaire. And I said, okay, yes, I mean, that could work, but it's really not really reality what you're talking about. I think, having a startup takes time, takes also the resilience to deal with the challenges and grow with that. And this brings me to my first real question, which we discussed. What all experiences shaped you, curiosity and drive? I mean, yes. This must need really a strong character that you say, okay, I survived the 20 years, not only, but I have a big vision.
Yeah, of course, it started already in my childhood. So I have to be grateful to my parents who first enabled me to be interested in these topics, but also nourished it by providing me with literature, children books. One of the first books I remember was Why is the Earth Round, which had a lot of questions also about space and exploration, but also about the planet. And then, of course, my father was very crafty. So we went out in the nature a lot and did manual stuff, and that enabled me to. And the third point was close to my village where I was born. There was the rocket test site of the German Aerospace Center, and it inspired me to think about what are they doing there. And I asked my parents, my grandparents, and then they couldn't tell me what they were doing there. Some people were saying they are launching rockets there, but I never saw something fly. And so very early I was interested in this topic of space, and I saw the huge opportunity that the space frontier brings to humanity, and it was really fascinating.
Wow. That's really interesting. And what would you say was the most touching and forward-bringing experience which formed you?
Yeah. So I early decided then to study aerospace engineering without knowing exactly what I would do with it afterwards. But then at the university, I met my co-founders, and this was really the key moment where we met in a student group that was doing hybrid rockets using the paraffin fuel already back then in the university. And Meeting them, meeting this technology, leading the student group to growth and to important milestones like our first world record that we set in 2016. That was really the most transformative period for me as later an entrepreneur, but also as a rocket scientist and as a person.
What would you say? What drives you mostly? Is it curiosity? Is it to make your vision come true? Is it maybe also the fun and the teamwork and the collaboration where you are disruptive and also diverse?
I think that changes over time, of course, as you grow older, but also as your organization changes and grows. So in the beginning, of course, first of all, it's always easy. Space is and rockets, it's super easy to inspire people, to motivate people to have a closer look. And that, of course, helps also with your personal motivation. Always when something is difficult, you can go back and say, look, but we launch a rocket next year again. So I'm looking forward to that. I will do it. So that's very easy from that point of view. In the beginning, of course, it was mostly the interest into technology. But today, as the CEO of a company that is growing fast, I'm actually not occupied a lot anymore with the technology. I still find it great and fascinating, and I love to spend every minute that I can to dive into the technological problems that our engineers face and have a look. Maybe I can help. But of course, my work is now mainly about how do we run this organization? How do we grow it so that we can be successful? How do we lead the people to reach the objectives in time, being motivated and all that? And that's, of course, very inspiring as well.
And this is, of course, a leadership role. And can you give us there from this leadership role, maybe three hacks which make you or which are the ones which make you doing it in a better way besides the technical part, just from day to day, knowing that exactly this is this asked for by your team members, by your colleagues, by the people outside, which where you have to explain your story and which you have to motivate?
Yeah, I think one thing that I really think is really important in the way I do it is to be always available to not to help everyone in the company if they have need. Whether it's, oh, we need to clean up the meeting room because we have a big meeting with customers later. Okay, let's help together and clean up the room. Or to help in last minute deadlines when a proposal has to be submitted to customers or to the European Space Agency or so. So never to say, this is not my part anymore. I have you as an employee for that, but to work together. I think that's very important to lead in this way. And then of course, also leading by example. If you expect certain motivation and dedication from your team, you have to show it yourself. You cannot go to the beach like you described before. That would not work. So I think really leading by example is very important. And to always consider seriously what the team members say, maybe what needs to be improved. Because if you have 100 employees, then you have 100 different opinions and 100 different viewing points, and all of them have some reality in it. And of course, not everyone can be made happy.
Thank you so much, Christian, for the insights you gave me. One last sentence I would like to repeat. You said every little step makes a difference. And I think you've done already really big steps. So I've been looking forward to watching this more or less.
It's a unicorn.
The next, yes. And thank you very much
thank
for
you
being
much
here.
Yes.
So unfortunately, it comes to an end with our show, and I hope you took something with you from today's show here live from Baalak. And I hope that it took your curiosity to deep a little bit more into the topic we talked about. So don't hesitate to get involved. Of course, your voice is valued, you know, and together we can make a difference. Thank you for being part of our community, and until next time, keep shining and empowering others. Together, we rise.